unfold their wings of strife. When the strong tides lift and the able strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark o'erflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
And how glad we are for him. Praise God. Let us turn this morning to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And we will begin reading with verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We would begin a new series this morning entitled In Christ. This is taken from verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The title for the message today is Security and Prosperity. As we'll see a little later, the security is found in old things are passed away. The prosperity is found in all things are become new. Before we go into that, I want to notice how that the Apostle Paul reached this glorious conclusion that we see here in verse 17. As you notice, the little word therefore points back to the verses before. And so in verse 14 we read, for the love of Christ constrains us. And so we find out that Paul was motivated, or he was constrained, or he was controlled by divine love in what he found here, of this decision or this judgment that he made. As he said here, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That means that all men are reduced to exactly the same plane. There is not one person who required or needed the death of Jesus more or less than any other. All men had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Jesus died for all of them. Then we read in verse 15, he that died for all, that they which live should henceforth live, or not live, unto themselves. Meaning that all of those that have been raised up in newness of life with Christ are indebted to live their lives indeed unto him. Then Paul says in verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He is telling us that divine love calls on us to recognize Christians as being raised up and living in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says here, though we have known Christ after the flesh, don't know him that way anymore. And then we come to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We must understand that there are only two realms wherein every person in the world will be found. Jesus said in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Every man will be accounted for that has ever been born into this world or ever will be born into this world, and he will either be in the fleshly realm or the spiritual realm. There is only one place that he can be found. Every man is born into this world in that fleshly realm. We are a part of the Adamic creation. We are a part of that fleshly realm the moment we take our first breath in this world. This is why that Jesus insisted in John 3, you must be born again. And then he explained to Nicodemus what that meant, to be born of the Spirit. Once we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer in the realm of flesh as far as God is concerned. We are now in the spiritual realm. And this is what we have here in our text, if any man be in Christ. The way we are in Christ is by virtue of the new birth. We are born of the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. We are indeed in Christ. A new creation as being opposed to the old flesh or the old creation. And then we see two major benefits of being in Christ. We are going to see a great many more before this series is finished, but the two that we see this morning, one is old things are passed away. As I said, this is where that we see our safety in Christ. Because our old sins are gone. Romans 8:1 says it this way, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that sentence must end there. If you read Romans 8:1, you will find that they added, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those words are not in the original text. There used to be Bibles that will tell you these words have been interpolated. Not anymore. They take away from the meaning. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, period. It means there is no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. And there is a reason for that. Old things are passed away. Those old sins, iniquities, everything about me of the old flesh has been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are quite a number of scriptures that bear this out. I only want to to see two of them this morning. We'll not turn there, but you remember them well. They are wonderful. Psalm 103:12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Jeremiah 31:34 says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. All things are passed away, and there is no condemnation hanging over our heads. We are safe because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ." "Behold, all things are become new," says Paul. And this tells us of that full and limitless prosperity that we have. Why? Because we are in Christ. We don't do anything to deserve it. We have no merit for it. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It is because of divine grace that we have these wonderful new things. These are even more glorious than the old things that are passed away. It is wonderful to think that we have been removed from that old life, from that old flesh, from that all of the old baggage that we had. But the new life in front of us is far more glorious than that if we will just pursue it. I want to see this beautifully illustrated from a wonderful story we have in the Old Testament. Let us go back to the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. This is the story of Noah and his ark. And the first thing we would see here is the safety that Noah and his family had, and why. Verse 16 of Genesis 7. "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him." And you can underline it, "and the Lord shut him in." It is God who shut the door, and no man had any control over it. The same thing is true of our life in Christ. It is the Lord who has shut us in. Colossians said, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." Again, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Job described this same truth. He was looking at it as a man inside looking out. And he said, "The Lord has hedged me in." And he spoke of it in a negative connotation, as though he were a prisoner and couldn't get out. But understand this, the same hedge that held him in held everything else out. The same thing is true in our lives. We are hedged in Christ Jesus, and therefore are to be indeed under the control of God. Understand here, Noah and his band were saved only because they are in the ark. That's the reason that we are shielded and that we are safe from everything else, is because we are in Christ. Let us back up to the 6th chapter of this same book. I want to see a picture of the ark itself and how it so beautifully illustrates Jesus and the church today. In chapter 6 and verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." The first thing we see here is that the wood is representative of Christ's humanity. It is that which comes out of the earth, that which grows out of the earth. Isaiah 53:2 describes it this way. Jesus, speaking of Christ, as a root out of a dry ground. Jesus is the only thing that God could find in this world that he could use. Everything else was completely dry all around. But he is the root out of the dry ground. And then you will notice further, thou shalt make rooms. The little word rooms here is a wonderful word that means nests. It tells us of that which is so close and intimate, that which is so secure and so comfortable. This is exactly what God has given to us in Christ, a real nest of intimacy with Jesus. Thou shalt, in verse 4, thou make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without. This is the insulation whereby God ensured that the water should never get to them. That's exactly what we have in Christ. It is absolutely certain that Jesus felt all of the brunt of the judgment of God, and not one drop fell on us, nor will it. And so we are safe. We are secure. We are insulated. We are separated by Christ. New Testament says we are in the world, but not of the world, separated indeed unto him. Then, in verse 16, a window shalt thou make in the ark. Still there today, God is telling us, look up. There is a tendency to look around at all of the things that are going on in this world. And they are very destructive forces, I will guarantee you. But bless God, he has given us the way up, out the window in the top of the ark. And that is where our hope absolutely must be. Then you will notice, thou shalt make a window to the ark, a cubit and a half shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side. And there was only one. The door is Jesus himself. He is the door. As we will see a little bit later in John 10, I am the door. Again, we read in John 14, 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we read of this wonderful door. He is the only way of access unto the Lord. This is a fact. All Christians are in Christ. But all Christians do not pursue what is available for them. You will notice further in this story, again, verse 16, you'll set a door in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. It tells us of the ranks that there are in the church. There are those who would pursue the highest heights, and there are those, that is, speaking of the highest blessings, those blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And then there are those who are simply satisfied with earthly benefits and blessings that the Lord has given. We can have whatever we will lay hold of. All Christians, to repeat, are absolutely safe in Christ, but all Christians are not going to enjoy the fullness of, behold, all things have become new. Let us turn to the 10th chapter of John, where we see these same glorious truths brought out in a little bit different analogy. John 10. We read it in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth by the door into the sheepfold, or not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The door here in verse 2 refers to the door into the Jewish fold, into the purposes that God had. And we read here that he that enters in by the door. Jesus is the one who entered by the door. All that ever came before him are thieves and robbers. He entered in by the door. The door was the door of humanity. Jesus was born into it. He was born a Jew. He was born of a woman. He was born under the law. This is what gave him the right to come through that door, born as that little babe in the manger, so to speak. He entered by the door of humanity into that fold. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth. The porter is none other than John the Baptist. He was instructed to prepare ye the way of the Lord. He announced Christ as he came into this world. Verse 9, verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Here we find Jesus himself announcing himself as the door, this time of the fold or of the church. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. And so Jesus is the only access, even as we found with Noah's ark. An ark of wood, of humanity, so to speak, because of Christ's humanity. Jesus is the door that gives us access into this glorious ark, so to speak, into the very fold of God, as we see here. But I want to notice once again that these blessings, all things are ours, because we are in Christ. Behold, all things are become new, the Apostle Paul said. Let us notice some of the specifics of newness. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. This is the first beautiful blessing and benefit that we have in hearing the word of the shepherd. It is a reference, of course, to the word of God that he gives unto us even now. He calls his own sheep by name. Oh, what a wonderful place of intimacy he has given unto us. We are a body, we are a flock, but Jesus knows me by name, intimately, personally. What a blessing that is when we come to my plight, when we come to my need, when we come to Christ wanting me to grow up into Christ in all things. Such personal care that the shepherd gives to me. He knows my name, because I am in Christ. He knows, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And this, of course, testifies of Christ who goes out before them. As we find in verse 4, when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus has already set the example. Paul said in another place, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus set the example of who we are, what we are to be, laying down our life just as he did, not for redemption, but because we are giving them unto his glory for his purpose. It's the same Spirit. Whatever be the will of God for my life, we are to follow exactly that same wonderful example. He puts forth his own sheep. The reason he does that is he puts them out to pasture. And you see, that is so important for us. He will explain to us. He will speak to us. He will lead us out of one pasture into another in order that we might get the fullness of the Word of God, the fullness of the provisions, the fullness of all things that he has made new indeed for us. Then I want to notice the benefits specifically stated here of the good shepherd. We read it in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Old things are passed away because the good shepherd gave his life for me, that there might be no more condemnation. The good shepherd saw to it that old things are passed away. Then we read again in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. Yes, know them even by name. And you will notice, am known of mine. What an open door he's given us for all things made new because of this shepherd. All of these glorious things that he has for us simply to reach out and take because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I know my sheep and am known of mine. I hope we can grasp the significance of that, because there are depths of Jesus that have not been plumbed, but we can know by experience. These are a part of the all things that we shall explore because we are in Christ. They are the depths of all things that have been made new. Then we come to verse 16. And other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold. Those other sheep is you and me, the Gentile. And you will notice what he says here. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, the church, and one shepherd. We have often said that Jesus introduced Paul's gospel. It was Jesus who announced that the church age was coming. Up until that time, it was an absolute mystery. And the church age includes both Jew and Gentile. Make no mistake, God still has his purposes for the Jew. They are going to be the head rather than the tail of the nations. And bless God, that is just about ready to come to pass. But today in the church, Jew and Gentile, even as the Apostle Paul was a tremendous Jew and will be a part of the bride of Christ, Jew and Gentile make up the church. One fold, one shepherd. And we have the privilege of attaining unto the very highest heights. We can go into the third story of the ark, so to speak, and get the very choicest of blessings that God has to offer us. And it is all by virtue of being in Christ. It means that all the glorious provisions are mine if I so desire to lay hold of them. And that choice remains only with me.